This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
So I did check in with our ailing co-host, Pauly, see how he's doing this morning. And Woodsy tells me that he got the kids off to school and he is crashing back in bed and trying to get better and beat this bout of strep throat. But he did say, I anticipate returning tomorrow for Ben and Woods. So, you know, hopefully Woodsy can stay up and watch the San Diego State basketball game tonight. We can talk some Aztecs tomorrow morning. A very intriguing game. We were just talking again at the break about the line apparently has moved towards San Diego State. It was Gonzaga by 11.5. Now it's dropped into single digits. What,
nine and a half
yeah. Now? So late money obviously coming in on the Aztecs, liking them to keep it to single digits at least against the number 14 in the country.
I get it. You think this is a San Diego State defense.
It's a Final Four team from 2 years ago, a Sweet 16 team from last year that's playing at home in front of a sold-out madhouse on the Mesa. How could they not keep it within 10 points, right? Against any opponent. How could they not? But you could also make the counter-argument that Gonzaga is a much more experienced team. Ryan Nemhard, Graham Ek, you know, guys who've had like bad run-ins with San Diego State in the past. They want revenge. Not just the Gonzaga guys who lost at home, but, you know, Nemhard came from Creighton, right? And then Ek came from Wyoming, where he was 0-5 against the Aztecs in his career. There's a lot of guys who really want to beat San Diego State badly. They have circled this game for a while. And because it's so early in the season, you just don't know exactly what you got. Even Brian Dutcher, when he talks about tonight's game, goes, I guess we'll see. You know, hopefully, you know, they're ready. It's
and
a little
have
early
any
to know.
On Miles Burt.
Nope.
No idea if he's going to play or
game
not.
Game time decision from what I've heard, and I have not heard an update in the last couple of days on how close he is to potentially returning.
Because that would certainly impact the line.
Yeah, that if someone heard that he is going to play, that could swing things a little towards San Diego State. Now, even if he does play, you don't know how effective he's going to be, how long he's going to be able to be out there. You know, one, go up for a rebound, come down badly on that ankle, your night's probably done in the first 5 minutes. You know, it just depends on, you know, you tape it up and you take your chances potentially. So, I don't know. I can see this one going either way tonight, but that's what makes it intriguing. That's why it's a matchup worth watching, that we don't know what's going to happen. Even the knowledgeable college basketball fans can't totally predict this one.
No,
Gonzaga is obviously
excited.
The favorite.
It's tough to get excited for, you know, Occidental last week, but this one I will be tuned in absolutely
for sure. So,
CBS Sports Network,
7 p.m. tonight.
I'm sure there's a game before that.
I'm sure so that will
seven,
run. That will run.
Ish.
That will run long, and they'll push back the start time a few minutes. And of course, the game before always goes into like overtime or double overtime. And then you can start watching the game on the CBS Sports app somewhere.
And if you keep it on TV, you'll jump in at like 14 minutes in.
Yes, and hopefully, you know, the Aztecs aren't down like 12 or something at that point. We know how that works on college basketball coverage involving San Diego State. Like literally every time. if you want to bet on a game going into overtime, figure out what game is on before San Diego State. And it's usually that one's going to go overtime every single year. All right, tease a little breaking baseball news, and it's an old friend alert here, Pauly. I know you got your Roundel report, but let me get this news out. The Cincinnati Reds and Nick Martinez he's reached a one-year contract because he has accepted their qualifying offer. The one-year $21.05 million qualifying offer locks him in. So, you know, the Reds now have no choice. Nick Martinez is a Red. He's going to get big money for one season, but he will forego his chance to become a free agent and just come back to the Cincinnati Reds for one season. What do you think? Good decision by Nick? Are the Reds happy or unhappy that he made this call?
I think it's a great idea, a great decision for him. I mean, $21 million, this is a guy that got plucked out of, you know, nowhere a couple years ago. We were thinking he was going to sign a 3-4-5 year multi-year bigger contract, wondering if he could possibly return to San Diego.
It's quite the story of A.J. Preller, you know, finding him.
It's definitely a bet on yourself.
Pitching in Japan. It is. Because
I'm sure he had multi-year offers.
Yes. And maybe it wouldn't have been, obviously it wasn't $21 million a year, or he would have just said, no thanks. Right. I can get that and more for multiple years. So
he's probably, almost, what would you think, more in the like 10 to 14 range?
I would say, you know, 3 years, 45 to 50 million. So he's betting on himself that he can have another good season and then hit free agency again next year. It's always a risk, not just injuries, but getting a year older. Then again, $21 million in the bank is $21 million in the bank. And that is now guaranteed. Yeah. No matter what happens to Nick Martinez, he's going to have that money and he's going to remain with the Cincinnati Reds. And if he, you know, likes it there, feels comfortable in that organization, more power to him. And I will just offer my congratulations to Nick Martinez. And you know,
could be a trade target too if things don't go well for the Reds.
Yeah. You know, and that won't be like a contract that other teams can't absorb when it's just the 1 year. You're not taking on multiple years.
Yep.
Definitely could be a trade deadline type pitching piece that other organizations are interested in. But definitely congratulations to Nick Martinez. Now, that's one pitcher off the board. Padres need pitching. But as we talked about last week, there are a lot of pitchers on the board still and a lot of different directions the Padres can go this offseason. We'll talk about that more as the offseason progresses. Right now, though, Pauly Scott, Roundel Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Roundel Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Roundel Report with Paul Roundel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Roundel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy? Oh, yeah.
All right. Benny, we will start with some news I know you were excited about as well, and that's in the NBA, NBA media.
I'm very excited, actually, about this news.
So inside the NBA, with Ernie and Chuck and Kenny and Shaq, everybody's been wondering what's going to happen when their contract expires with Turner and the NBA at the end of the season, or is the show over? They've been going for, what, 20-plus years?
Has it been that long? Wow.
It's been a long time that show has been running.
The ultimate chemistry. They have...
Oh, yeah, they're the best.
Chemistry coming out of their pores.
I'm trying to see when exactly it started, and it's been a long time. Anyways, there was so much debate. What's going to happen? The NBA has sold their rights. They've got the ESPN package. They're going to have Amazon Prime, and I think NBC's back in the mix now. And that's all starting next season, but it was just reported over the weekend that Inside the NBA will air on ESPN and ABC. So I was wondering, I'm like, how is that going to work? I know, like, Shaq and Chuck were both pretty vocal about not wanting to work for ESPN, and there was like, oh, maybe Charles Barkley's production company that he owns can buy the rights to Inside the NBA. So TNT is still going to produce these shows. I imagine you won't see the TNT logo, but it'll be running on ESPN and ABC. Now, the way it's been working is TNT has a doubleheader on Tuesdays and Thursdays. ESPN has the big games on Wednesdays and Fridays. So from what I can assume, you will just get the Inside the NBA crew most likely on Wednesdays and Fridays next season.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be on quite as regularly as they've been on TNT. I mean, early in the season, it'll be, you know, the bigger games, ESPN. They'll even have them on ABC for some of the big games as well, which is exciting, you know, and have it on Channel 10 here in San Diego to see Inside the NBA. But this is all...
There's so many long, fine details where
TNT... So this is all part of the lawsuit settlement because, you know, TNT said, hey, we were going to match that offer. We wanted to keep it.
And, right.
And the NBA said, you know what? You can't really match the offer. We've made it such. So they filed a lawsuit. So to get them to kind of drop the lawsuit, they're going to get to produce it. I'm sure ESPN and ABC is going to have to pay a pretty penny to Turner for the right, you know, to air it. And then they get to continue to produce it. Shaq and Chuck get their thing that they get to keep working for TNT.
So
with Ernie and
nothing
Kenny.
Changes for those guys.
Nothing really, really changes. They'll go to the same studio. They'll have the same probably bosses and everything. And for them, it'll all be the same. It's just where you find it on your dial
will
now be on ESPN. But they'll be talking about the same stuff. So it's actually a pretty elegant solution that probably involves an enormous amount of money, you know, changing hands in both directions. And, you know, obviously that show is expensive to produce with the kind of talent that it has. But for us basketball fans, we've made out pretty well. We'll still continue to get our Inside the NBA. We'll just get it on ESPN and ABC. And you know, I'm sure as the playoffs, they're going to ramp it up and you'll see them as much as you usually did once you get to the postseason, which is kind of when we care about most of it anyway. So
big win for ESPN, big win for Inside the NBA, big win for basketball.
And big win for us. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Next up, I saw this on Friday afternoon. So last week, the baseball card company, Topps, they announced that the Paul Skeens 1/1, it's a rookie debut patch autograph card, is finally being released. So somebody will rip open a pack of baseball cards and find a 1/1. It's Paul Skeens. It's got his autograph on there, and it's got...
See, now this is like the Monopoly patch at McDonald's we were talking about earlier. You just keep buying them and hoping you find the one card that's the big winner in
right.
your set.
Now, hopefully, it's not a Topps employee that wins it. That would be a bad look. And so everyone is going to be trying to collect this card. I have no idea. If anybody in the chat is more in tune with the value and the hobby of collecting and selling baseball cards, I have no idea what this card could and will go for. But apparently, I don't know if Paul Skeens wants this card or if the owner of the Pittsburgh Pirates wants this card, but the Pirates, they put out an offer for this card, the 1/1. Whoever pulls that one single card, the Pittsburgh Pirates have offered, they say, to the lucky person who finds the card, we'd love to bring this card home to PNC Park to share with all the Buccos fans. So I guess the team just wants to have it and display it somewhere in the stadium. They said, here's our offer. Ready for this, Ben? Two Pirate season tickets behind home plate for 30 years.
30 years?
The next 30 years behind home plate season tickets, they're yours.
So you're like Marlins man behind home plate for
correct.
30 years.
Doesn't stop there. You'll get a softball game for 30. So I guess you and 29 friends
on the
at
field,
PNC Park. You'll have coaching from Pirates alumni. So a little kind of like a fantasy camp situation. You and your buddies can play a softball game on the field at PNC Park. You'll get a spring training experience like no other, which includes a private tour of Pirates City and Lacombe Park. So their facility.
You thought I'd save you there, but I have no idea how it's said either.
Lacombe? I don't know.
It's probably a sponsor.
Private tour of their entire facility. You're going to get a meet and greet with Paul Skeens. You'll get two Paul Skeens autographed jerseys. You get to take batting practice and warm up with the team and other unique experiences at Pirates City. And then Livy Dunn raised the stakes even higher and said, the winner will get to sit with me for a game in my suite.
This isn't an indecent proposal type situation.
I don't think so.
Okay, just checking.
It hasn't reached that. So, yeah, I have no idea.
Hot Wheels in the chat says it's worth about $150,000 right now. McNugget says there's a bounty on it for $500,000 already. Kevin Charity, our friend from Mad Fryer, says conservatively $30,000 to $50,000. I mean,
that's what it's worth as soon as you pull it.
I'm not a collector. 30 years of season tickets behind home plate for any game, that's valuable. I lean toward the offer, actually.
I was thinking that's a pretty damn good offer, at least monetarily. Like, you think you're probably coming out on top. I mean, you're getting two Paul Skeens autographed jerseys. I guess you could sell one of those.
Now, Nate says, now at $900,000. Now you're starting
to. So that's the thing, is if one of these auction houses can find and get in touch with whoever pulls that card, they will try to auction it or consign it. And then that can raise the value as well. And then you have the auction houses all battling each other for it. I wouldn't be surprised if it gets some exorbitant amount, but
this is all like the Shohei 50-50 ball.
That went over $1 million.
I know, but it's so seedy and like I don't, you know, and I know we've got the baseball card companies and Upper Deck, and we know people who work for Upper Deck, and people are passionate about it. I collected them when I was a kid as well. I totally don't get it, though. They could make this Paul Skeens card and put it in every pack. And every kid that's a baseball fan could have their Paul Skeens story, and it's worth nothing. Or we can just make one of them, and it's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's totally fake, though. It's because someone decided we're just going to make one of these.
It's not fake.
It is kind of fake.
Supply and demand is a real thing. If there's only one,
right,
and everybody wants it.
But why don't they just make one baseball card for every player every year?
Because that's no fun at all.
Exactly.
Like, this isn't the only Paul Skeens card. It's the only one with the patch and the autograph.
Yeah, I understand it. I do. At the same time, I mean, I'm not a collector, so I feel it's a little silly that they get to these kind of ridiculous values. I mean, it's not even historic. I sort of understand. Oh, yeah,
the 50-50 ball?
Not the 50-50 ball. I'm talking about, like, ooh, a Ted Williams, like, rookie card in mint condition that's, like, you know, 80 years old.
The Honus Wagner.
Honus Wagner. It's like, okay, this is baseball history, and this is, like, you've got a piece of history in your hands. This isn't history. This is, you know, it's not that hard to print one card, put a little patch on it, and have Paul sign it. I mean, literally, it's costing them like 10 cents to produce it. And now it's all of a sudden worth maybe $1 million.
I'm sure there are hundreds, if not thousands, of Paul Skeens autographed baseball cards out there. But you can only get one with the MLB debut patch that he wore in his MLB debut.
Like I'm saying, that's fake value that they've created. It's not history that's created this. It's just marketed as it's special because we've made it special.
I think I disagree. I think the fact that it's one of one makes it very special. Right. Like, you can, you know, how many pairs of shoes did Michael Jordan wear in his career? Thousands, right? But if you were to somehow stumble across, these were the pair of shoes that he wore when he won an NBA title, whichever one of the six, like, that makes it one of six, or, you know, one of one. Adds the value.
But that's history that makes it rare. This is totally
manufactured. Paul Skeens goes on to have this insane MLB career that everyone thinks, then you're going to have the patch of his debut rookie jersey. That makes it
That's part of it, I guess. But where's the rest of it? Where's the rest of the jersey?
So
anyway?
The value in it, you're banking on him
having just a hole
the career.
In it? I mean, if you have the actual jersey, is it missing like a little hole or something? Like, you know.
I don't know how they do that.
I don't know how they do that.
I'm sure they have other patch cards. Maybe it's part of the, I don't know. I don't know
how. Just cut off that entire jersey. And now, if they did, then there's other cards that have patches in it. So this one's not as valuable.
But you're absolutely, the value is you're banking on him having one hell of a career.
You are.
Because it's not worth anything.
Right. It's worth whatever someone is willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
And the Pirates are willing to pay 30 years of season tickets and more.
I'll be curious to see if and when it comes out that person finds that card. And I don't know that it's been found yet. It was released on November 13th.
I mean, isn't...
So 5 days ago.
Isn't there a chance that it's Christmas season. Some grandma goes shopping for baseball cards for their, like, four-year-old who just, like, opens it and starts... Doesn't even know what they have. I mean, isn't there a chance that it gets lost to history because someone got it and had no idea what they were even opening or had?
I guess you're just hoping that anybody that's opening up packs of cards nowadays knows
what they're doing what they're looking for. But there's obviously people who are opening cards that have no idea what they're looking for. Oh, look, baseball cards. Wow, that's fun. Sorry, I'm not really into baseball, Grandma, but thank you for the thought.
Well, if somebody does open that pack, that is looking for that card or knows what they stumble upon, I'll be curious to see if they take the offer from the Pirates,
yeah.
if they try to sell it at auction, if they hold on
to
it.
You have to kind of be a Pirates fan living in Pittsburgh if you want to take the offer, which limits the number of people who would actually take that.
Yeah, I guess if somebody in San Diego pulls that card, you're just selling it.
All right, let's take a timeout. Do you have one more story? Are we only at two?
That was two, but Beyonce is doing the halftime show of the Christmas Netflix doubleheader. She'll be at the Houston game. Houston, Dallas, who are they playing? I don't know.
No, it's hopefully Netflix has figured out their streaming issues before then. Yeah, we can bring back a little Tyson Paul
Houston,
talk if
Baltimore.
You want. Coming up as well. Yeah, and the news that Beyonce is going to be performing, adding to your Christmas magic this year. Get to that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Paulie just mentioned Netflix announcing a Beyonce halftime show for their Christmas Day NFL doubleheader. That one's going to be in the halftime of the second game, you said? Ravens and Texans?
Ravens, Texans, yeah.
And the first game is Chiefs-Steelers. So two pretty good games on Christmas Day that are going to stream on Netflix, which, of course, had a few glitches and issues on Friday night for the Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight.
I'd be curious, is anyone out there that watched from start to finish and didn't have the buffering and the server issues and all that?
That's a good question. I'd be surprised. Now, you heard, if you were listening earlier today, you heard my surprisingly positive take on the whole experience. Even with the buffering issues, I was able to deal with them pretty quickly. And while my expectations were low and the fight wasn't good, everything else I thought was entertaining and more than worth my money, which was zero because I'm already subscribing to Netflix,
right.
And it was just there. So I just turned it on and I watched it. I wasn't doing anything else on a Friday night. I didn't really feel like I was missing out on anything. Added value to me to watch that spectacle.
Sure.
Not necessarily sporting event. I mean, the women's fight was outstanding. The spectacle around it was more than what I was bargaining for. I was actually pretty pleased with it. I know there are other opinions out there. I was just reading Jimmy Traina, who's the sports media guy for Sports Illustrated, didn't watch it, said couldn't have paid me to watch it, and wonders about the Netflix Christmas Day games. He says Netflix has little motivation to give you a clean broadcast. Netflix already has your money, and if there's mass buffering issues during the Chiefs-Steelers game, you're going to complain about it on Twitter and do nothing else. Nobody's going to cancel Netflix if there are issues with one-off NFL broadcasts because most people subscribe for movies and TV shows. Netflix has more than 280 million subscribers. Do you know how many people would have to cancel their subscriptions for Netflix to feel any ramifications for giving you a broadcast filled with technical problems? I certainly see his point. And NFL fans will not be happy if they have to deal with buffering. Because, you know, at least when I was watching the fight on Friday, I was watching the fight, you know, and I had my remote in my hand and I hit pause and I hit live. And I on Christmas, it's more kind of in the background. You know, oftentimes you got family over.
Yeah.
You're doing the Christmas meal thing. You don't want someone to have to just continually, you know, like, oh,
you're
what's
on
going
remote
on?
Duty.
You know, it's buffering again. What's going on? So I can see why that might be more of a problem for a Christmas broadcast. But it's kind of a good point in terms of what's your recourse as a sports fan? And why is this not going to, this is just going to happen more and more. We've already had Thursday Night Football going to Amazon Prime. Netflix is now in for Christmas Day.
Felt like the world was ending when that happened. And now it seems pretty natural to just know that Thursday Night Football, it's on Amazon Prime. I think of all the streaming services, like Prime, I don't know anybody that doesn't have Amazon Prime. And Prime Video is included with that. So I think a lot of people have it. I think like Apple TV and Peacock are like the ones where, okay, you're going to have to sign up if you want to watch that Padres game on Friday night. Or
now, I don't remember ever having a streaming or buffering issue for my Apple TV when I watched any of the Padres games.
Maybe some sound issues.
No, there weren't 60 million people watching Friday Night Baseball, right. I'm pretty sure. But keep in mind that, you know, the technology only gets better as we go forward. You know, they're able to handle more streams with better quality. You know, compare your internet today streaming just to 5 or 10 years ago. It's way better today. It'll be better in a year. It'll be even better in 5 years.
But Netflix, I mean, the NFL is not going to want to partner with Netflix ever again if it doesn't go off in 6 weeks.
Oh, I don't know about that. If they offer enough money, the NFL is going to go, we trust that you're going to fix it this time. I mean, they don't care. The fans are the ones that are Charlie Brown trying to kick the football. The NFL, as long as the check clears, I don't think the NFL cares that much. They're not driving fans away from the product. Really, the only issue that we have going forward with streaming is that every streamer wants to get in on live sports. Why? Why is live sports such a valuable commodity? Paul.
What do you mean?
Why is live, compared to, say, I don't know, watching the Penguin on Max or streaming
The unpredictability,
sitcom.
The fact that it's live.
What? Try again. Why is live?
I don't know
sports?
What you're asking me.
Because it's the only thing we sit through the commercials and watch live. Everything else, we just want to watch. We'll fast forward through commercials, or we subscribe to a stream that doesn't have commercials, like HBO Max, and we pay a premium for that. But with sports, we will both pay for the Netflix, and we will watch the commercials at the same time. It's the only
time. You're assuming you pay for Hulu Premium instead of just basic Hulu.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You're getting commercials and ads.
And I have the Paramount, the basic,
and
like Paramount
watches,
Plus.
And if anybody watches, you know, The Bachelor on ABC,
and I will watch
that.
A couple of commercials. Even the ones that have commercials are usually maybe a minute or 2 minutes or a minute 30, and then you're back to your show. Sports are the only thing that people will both pay for their service and sit through the commercials. 5 minute breaks. Oh, kickoff. Here's another 5 minute break for you. Yet we don't turn the channel generally with sports. It's the only thing the advertisers know that they're going to get the eyeballs for the commercials as well, which makes live sports the last and most valuable media property on earth, which means all of these streamers, and we're already seeing it, they're all bidding for it because that's where the advertising dollars are going to come. So we're only going to see more and more of this. And as fans, I'm not worried about the quality. The quality is just going to keep getting better and better. It's the cost. It's having to subscribe to Peacock and Apple and Netflix and Amazon Prime. And even if you've already got some of those and it's like, great, I'll take the added value. There's going to be at some point, I can't subscribe to this one. I can't subscribe to that one. Everybody has a limit for the most part on these streamers.
Signing up for free trials.
You're
just
not,
for the game.
Yes, you're not going to be able to get everything. It's the cost.
I'd be nervous as hell if I was a fan of either of the teams playing on Netflix on Christmas Day, that I wouldn't be able to watch it because of the streaming, the buffering, the server issues. doesn't have any impact on me. I don't give a damn about the Texans or the Ravens. I don't even know that I'm going to be watching it on Christmas night. But if I'm a fan of those teams and you only have 17 games, and that's a big one towards the end of the season, I feel like, oh my God, we're not, this isn't going to work, because Netflix has pretty epically failed the two or three tries that they've had with live events. It hadn't gone well.
I don't think there'll be 60 million people watching on Christmas. I'm sure they will get some of the glitches out. It'll be better than it probably was for, I mean, that was a pretty unpredictable, the Tyson Jake Paul. I mean, they probably didn't have any idea exactly how many people would be tuning in. They did, I bet they did better than they even expected themselves for that fight. Were they overwhelmed? Yeah. At times they were overwhelmed. That will get better. I just feel like at some point we're going to have 40 streaming services, and they're going to, that you're going to have, if you really want to watch, you know, football, baseball, basketball, college, you're going to have like 40 streaming services to get them all. And we'll long for the days of paying Woods' $300 cable right. bill when we're paying like $800 for every streaming service that we need just to watch every sporting event that we want to watch.
$15 a month per service, probably, right around there.
Yeah.
$10, $15, $20
That's to me, that's the concern going forward for sports fans, because it's the last valuable commodity that keeps eyeballs around for commercials. And, you know, we do it to you as well. I mean, you know, radio, you're listening to Jesse and Tony in the car during the game. You probably listen to the commercials in between innings, don't you? Don't you? We know that. That's why we air radio baseball, because you stick around for the commercials. You don't want to miss what's coming up next. I do it. You do it probably as well. It's still, live sports is still valuable in a way that no other entertainment programming really is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
End of rant. All right. Final segment coming up.
We're passionate there.
Hopefully Woods will be back tomorrow, getting better from his strep throat at home today. We will get you ready. Obviously, Aztecs tonight. Andy and Alston coming up as well. Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. The National Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown just unveiled the official 2025 Hall of Fame ballot. And there is a Tier 1 on there.
I love that.
We will get to the official Hall of Fame ballot and the Tier 1 status right after our last check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, to be fair, there could be multiple Tier 1s on the ballot. I don't know for sure that Ben Zobrist isn't watching at home on our YouTube stream.
Good morning, Ben. Or
Hanley Ramirez doesn't download the Odyssey app and check us out every single morning. I mean, Ian Kinsler was here for a short time. I don't think we necessarily endeared ourselves.
Is Andy Pettit in the chat?
To Ian Kinsler. So not sure if he's, watching the program right now. If you are, Ian, you know, double birds to you like you did for the fans in San Diego. Appreciate that. But there's definitely one Tier 1 on the this year's ballot for the 2025 National Hall of Fame induction. That would be one Adam Jones, our Wednesday regular here on Ben and Woods. Congratulations to AJ.
It's impressive.
Of course it's impressive. There's only, about 25 names on the list. And so I'm going to be totally honest. I have a problem being less than totally honest. I'm not a good liar. So I generally just don't do it. I mean, you know, we all will tell the lies of omission sometimes and not say anything. But I can't. I'm really bad. If I have to say something like to your face that's not true, you know it, because I'm just kind of wired. I want to tell the truth. And the nice thing of me, because I love Adam and he's such a great guy, would be to say, yeah, he absolutely deserves to get into the Hall of Fame, and I'm sure he's going to get a lot of votes. It's not a Hall of Famer. It's a great player.
He's not a Hall of Famer.
He's not a Hall of Famer. It's not
accomplishments to even be on the ballot.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great honor to be on the ballot. I can't say any more about Adam Jones other than it is an incredible accomplishment, even to get to this point where you're being considered. If he even gets 5% of the vote and stays on the ballot, that'll be an incredible accomplishment for Adam Jones. I can't be nicer than that. I'm sorry. I just got too much honesty in me to say anything other than, oh yeah, I can see, you know, he gets some support here and there, and maybe a couple of years on the ballot, maybe he gets into the Hall of Fame. It's not happening, but unbelievable career. And just to be mentioned alongside these names, you want me to just go through the list here quickly?
Yeah, let's do it. You want to do yes or no?
Yeah.
Just instant reaction, yeah, right, no thoughts.
Instant reaction, no thoughts. Bobby Abreu.
No.
No. Carlos Beltran.
No.
No. Mark Burley. No.
Maybe, but no. I can see him getting votes, but no.
Carlos Gonzalez.
No. I would say no.
Curtis Granderson, the Grandy Man.
No.
No. Felix Hernandez.
Interesting.
You're a Mariners guy. Give me a yes. I'm okay with it.
I don't think he gets in, but I think he's worthy.
Why doesn't he get in?
Because his record, I don't know that his numbers, the numbers that a lot of people look at may not be great. He was on a really bad team for 15 years, but he was one of the most dominant pitchers I've ever seen.
I feel like he was one of the best pitchers of his era. And
got a Cy Young.
Yeah.
Runner-up, I think, in two others.
You know, winning those awards, obviously, you know, people will point to that as part of your Hall of Fame credential. How many MVPs? How many Cy Youngs?
I think he'll get some votes. I think he'll stick around. I don't know that he gets in.
All right. But I kind of wouldn't mind seeing Felix Hernandez in the Hall of Fame. Torrey Hunter.
I feel similarly.
No, but closer.
Yeah. Hall of very good.
Adam Jones. Sorry, no. Andrew Jones. I'm a yes there. I know he hasn't gotten the support yet, but I'm kind of a yes on Andrew Jones. Ian Kinsler. Definitely a no here. Russell Martin. Oh, yeah, very much a no here.
No.
Brian McCann.
No.
No. Dustin Pedroia.
We'll get votes.
Yeah, but probably not getting in. Andy Pettit.
I say yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
I don't know that this ballot.
Got the steroid problem that everyone else has kept everybody else out, but you know what? Let's ignore that, and I'll just say yes.
He's Hall of Fame worthy.
Hanley Ramirez?
No.
Manny Ramirez? Yes, but obviously.
Same problems. Yes, but no.
Fernando Rodney, the reliever?
Another Padre.
No. Alex Rodriguez? Have your opinions, but obviously a yes. Francisco Rodriguez, K-Rod.
Oh, God, he was fun.
Was good. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer,
I don't think
though.
He gets it. No. It's so hard for a relief pitcher to get into the Hall of Fame.
Jimmy Rollins. I kind of lean toward yes on this one.
Yeah, eventually. Maybe not this eventually. Ballot, but eventually gets in, yeah.
Here's an interesting one. CC Sabathia.
I don't think it's interesting at all. I think he's absolutely a
I think
Hall of
so,
Famer.
Yes, too. Ichiro, slam dunk, should be unanimous.
Unanimous.
Troy Tulowitzki. No, thank you. Chase Utley.
No.
I'm going to go no. It's definitely not a definite no, but Omar Vizquel.
No.
Leaning toward no. Billy Wagner.
He's been on the ballot, right? Bunch?
Yeah. Billy Wagner, I lean toward yes. But
he's trending, I think,
I think relievers
right
should get more credit. Yeah. You know, I don't have
like
a problem
I just said, it's
with
it. So hard for a reliever, but I would say Billy Wagner, yes.
David Wright, I'm going to say no.
No.
And Ben Zobrist.
Hell yeah.
If he's a tier one and watching on YouTube right now, you will have my full support, Ben Zobrist. Jump in on the chat and you can have my support. Otherwise, it's a no for me.
Yeah.
So baseball writers will have their ballots. I think they have to turn it in at the end of the year, either late December, early January, and then early January they'll make the announcement. You need 75% of the vote to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. While it's not hard for a guy like Ichiro, getting 75% to agree on anything is pretty difficult nowadays.
Is only one unanimous Hall of Famer?
Correct. Mariano Rivera, I believe, has been the only unanimous Hall of Famer.
Who looks at Ichiro's career, whether you look at just his, his MLB stats or
just a contrarian.
Combined?
Just a contrarian who says, I don't want to vote for anyone on the first ballot.
And he's going to he's not going to make his ballot public because he's a coward.
Right.
Like,
there's less of those guys now than there used to be. I think Ichiro gets in unanimously. And I think there's going to be more guys going forward who eventually get in unanimously.
About that. Of all of the great players over the last however many years, only one player was voted unanimously.
Pretty sure Ichiro wasn't a steroid guy. I mean, he didn't start his career. I mean, he had the years in Japan. You could say, I'm not counting those. Even if you only count the years in Major League Baseball, he's still slam dunk Hall of Famer. I mean, just like he has everything you need for the argument. There really is no argument against Ichiro. You know, trailblazer as well. Everything that he put together. Didn't win a World Series. Didn't get to a World Series. Correct?
And
of his career, I don't think he ever did. So.
He bounced around with some teams.
Maybe that's what someone decides is not worthy of first ballot selection for Ichiro, but he will definitely get in.
I mean, Ken Griffey Jr., Derek Jeter, like just name any of the greats of the last 30 plus years. Right. Nobody. Only one unit. That's such a joke to me.
It's a lot of voters. It's very hard to get even 75%, much less 100%. of people
but
to
like,
agree on everything.
I think
everything.
Griffey was like 99.3 or whatever. There's one or two or three people.
Tony Gwynn was like 98
like,
point
there is
something,
somebody
I think.
Out there
yeah.
that looked at the career of Tony Gwynn and thought, no, not a Hall of Famer. You should have your. You should be banned from voting ever again.
Probably, yes.
You clearly don't know what you're talking about. Greg Maddux wasn't a Hall of Famer or a unanimous.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, come on. There's no steroid allegations. We're not talking Barry Bonds here, which, again, he's a Hall of Famer.
I wonder if Tony Gwynn, like, you just put, like, take his career and you, like, put him up now. He might get less of the vote now than he did because they'd all of a sudden start looking at the advanced metrics and the slugging percentage, and it would be the whole Luis Arraez argument again. Well, how valuable is a guy who doesn't walk that much? You know, he makes too much contact. He probably would get less of the vote today than he did when he actually got in. If I'm being honest, there would be, and that would be the younger voters who would actually discount Tony more than the old crusty writers who vote. It would be the younger voters who just got their vote after. I think you have to be in the Baseball Writers Association for 10 years.
Sounds right.
And then you get a Hall of Fame vote. But those first time, you know, second time voters, they might actually have more of a problem with Tony Gwynn than the older writers did when it happened.
If they made it so that everybody's ballot, no matter what, you didn't get to choose if it was public. Released publicly or not, would that help or hurt? Like, would that make people go, I really don't think so-and-so is a Hall of Famer, but I don't want to be outed as the guy that says that?
I don't know. If you want to be edgy and a contrarian, why aren't you making your ballot public? There's no, you know, no reason to hide it if that's what your purpose is. One of the reasons why some guys don't get in unanimously is you only get 10 votes. And sometimes you have like 12 guys you want to vote for. And you worry like, okay, but this guy might drop off the ballot. I know I'll get another chance to vote for this guy next year. And sometimes that limits it. If you really wanted to fix that, you probably should just take out the 10-vote limit and just vote for as many people as you want to vote for every year. If you want to vote for 15 guys for the Hall of Fame, vote for 15 guys. If you want to vote for two, vote for two. But the artificial limit of 10, people who really think, you know, Chase Utley and Omar Vizquel deserve to get in, but they're running out of years on the ballot, they might pick those guys ahead of guys that may be more worthy because they want to make sure they have as many votes as possible to get into the Hall of Fame before they get in.
Some hardo will not vote for anybody. He'll just leave his ballot blank.
It's happened, but shouldn't happen this year. Everyone should have Ichiro marked on their ballot at the very least.
I mean, everybody else, I guess there's an argument. I just don't see it for Ichiro. Alex Rodriguez would be just... The player would be the next, but of course, the steroid allegations. I just don't see how you can call yourself a Hall of Fame
voter. Ichiro, as far as I know, has no skeletons that have come out in his closet, you know, other than he's obsessed with baseball
beloved.
And loves the sport. That's about the only knock on Ichiro, is that he loves the sport too much.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, that'll be a telling thing to see if he gets 100% of the vote or not. Because there really is no reason he shouldn't get 100% of the vote.
I agree. How do you think it goes tonight, baby?
I think Woods falls asleep in the first half.
Oh, do you, yeah.
And hopefully then gets up in the morning feeling better and ready to rejoin us tomorrow morning.
Like, I don't know if Hannah gets back tonight. I don't know when she gets back. If she got back late tonight, that would obviously change things. I wouldn't be surprised if Woods is asleep by 6:30. No. This is the entire game. How do you think it goes on the court?
I think Aztecs fans, if you're going to Viejas Arena,
be loud.
San Diego State needs you tonight. You know, that's their best chance to win is you to get inside Gonzaga's head. Now, Gonzaga's used to loud, raucous arenas. They've, you know, been to their place. It's pretty loud, but it's usually cheering for them, not against them. See if you can rattle them tonight. They're going to need your help. It's a very good team. They're ranked, you know, top five in the country for a reason. Number four. I don't even know if that went up, if they've released the new ballot this morning yet. But, they need all the help that they can get tonight. And hopefully they can make some shots and make this a pretty good game. So
I love what you said earlier when you said this is one of those games where you can lose and still win. You know, you have to just have a good showing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you get bodied by 30... That's going to hurt the resume.
Make people think you're a top 25 team tonight. Win or lose, make them think you're a top 25 team. All right, that's it for us. Good work, Paul. You always have to step up when Woods isn't
tired.
Here. Woodsy hopefully back tomorrow. Annie and Elston coming up next. For Paul Reindl, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Monday from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.